Welcome to iHeart Geek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeart Geek, and happy holidays. We are talking Christmas stuff.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. What do you want for Christmas?
No, what?
We are discussing the got off to a great start trilogy of the Santa Claus. 1, 2, and 3. We're not happy about this, and we'll discuss it later. However, there is a lot of love for the movie, so it's not going to be a negative poop on the franchise show.
You don't know that.
It might be.
Don't put me in a box, Deb.
I'll try my best. I put my Courtney in a box.
Don't put me in a box.
Well, better than a refrigerator.
That's true.
Oh, there we go. So let's talk about who's on the panel real quick. We have, let's see, let me introduce.
Ladies first.
Yeah, let's do that first. I guess Dub. I'm Dub, and I'm your producer. So, ladies first.
He's a lady.
Hey, dude, looks like a lady, and I'm wearing this nice leg on my shirt. If you're watching,
it's fragile.
It's fragile. It must
be Italian.
It's a major award.
I cannot wait to talk about that movie again next year because we can't do it 2 years in a row. Okay, so first off, we have Miss Geeky Page herself. Courtney, how are you doing today? And what is Santa Claus bringing you for Christmas, naughty girl?
Probably lumps of coal.
Well, that's what you deserve. But that's a good exchange lumps right now. Coal. Yeah, because yeah. It's going to be a cold winter.
And it's cold in the house, so coal would be useful.
Yeah, and you can barbecue with it, and we're all happy then.
That works.
Yeah, okay. Lumps of coal.
Woohoo!
Okay, and then we have the cheeky chi herself, Miss Christina. How are you doing? And what is Santa bringing you for Christmas?
Oh, Santa is bringing me more than coal. But if it's coal, it's okay. Because, Courtney, as we know, pressure brings diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And, honey, we're diamonds.
How do I know this is going to go on a girl power
thing? This is what the show is going to be like.
No, now we're going to get our testosterone back on board.
No!
Yay! Okay, we've tiptoed through the tulips, and now we are back in the garage. Let's start with John from California. Hey, John from California, where are you from, and what's Santa bringing you for Christmas?
Where I'm from. I'm from California.
There you go. I don't know. How did you get that nickname?
That's you. You're the one who gave that to me.
I know.
The first episode, you're like, it's John from California.
Well, because you were the only one from California at the time.
Even though you, PB, and me all grew up in California.
But you're the one that lives in California.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're still from there.
No, I don't claim that place anymore. So what is Santa bringing you for Christmas? Hopefully a one-way ticket out of California.
That's hopefully the plan soon.
Nothing yeah. to exaggerate on that?
No, okay. No, because basically my Christmas money goes towards usually paying my car registration.
Oh, that's
because I live in California. It's like my Christmas money.
Don't you love being old? And that's
Christmas. Oh, I know. Time. I know.
And finally, the guy that I have known longer than anyone else, probably close to anybody that I've known longer to than anyone that's been on the show. We have Mr. Skeeter. How are you doing, bud?
It's almost like probably next to your sister and your parents and that one other dude that we talk about every once in a while. I am wonderful. I think we're going on close to 30 what
old
30 yeah 2 years 30
old
something like yeah. that. I don't know,
Dub, yeah. You're old, man.
I was 6.
Totally. But I'm the other California guy. I'm doing awesome. It's Christmas time. Like, what a better time to be in, just happy and not worried about the garbage going on, other than Christmas, yeah, I had to pay my registration to John, so I feel your pain for sure.
I love being in Nevada.
Pacific
I love
Northwest?
Arizona even more.
The yeah, Pacific the, Northwest, it's like $100 for 2 years.
That's where I'm hoping to move, is the Pacific Northwest.
At a Napa. Well,
let me know. Geez. We'll hook you up.
My parents live in Mount Vernon, so I'm moving up to Washington.
We have all sorts of moving stuff going on now. Nice. Okay, so we are talking the Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3. First off, let's get the elephant out of the room. What happened? The first movie was touching. It was, it hit all the correct Christmas
buttons, you know,
buttons, I think. And then the second one was, and we'll get some disagreement on this, but it was okay. It wasn't bad. I think there was a part of the movie, which we'll get into in a minute. There was a part of the movie I didn't like, but the rest of it, while it was a little rushed, it was decent. And then the third movie, literally, it took me 3 days to watch it. I can handle about 20 minutes at a time. I don't know how you can go so bad with a Christmas movie. Ever.
I didn't finish it.
Haven't you seen Jingle All the Way?
I would rather watch Jingle All the Way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just bad. I think it was, I mean, I think it was
number three out of the way, because
yeah, it was just, it was, we made money with one and two, let's make it a trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the cast in it. Like,
well, the cast is amazing. It's the script that's just,
well, I don't think it's not even all script, because I think we also have the sound effects were just beyond weird. The direction was really odd.
Well, it was also a cheap ripoff of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, and then some.
Yeah.
And I mean, you have freaking Martin Short there, and how is it not like a masterpiece at that point?
Well,
if they added Steve Martin, I think it would have been better. If Martin Short, Steve Martin together, you'd have had a power combo, but you couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, they strayed from the, what made the Santa Claus fun, the first one, was because, you know, you hadn't seen anybody, you have to be Santa Claus now, because you killed the first one.
Yeah.
I don't have the roof. That was,
we're going to get to
and
that.
And it was like, legally, you have to do that. And then the second one, you can kind of like, okay, well, he has to have a wife. He has to have a Mrs. Claus in order to keep being Santa Claus. Those two kind of concepts go together really well.
Yeah.
Third one is Jack Frost decides he's going to take over the North Pole. What?
Yeah. It was abysmal. Alan Arkin.
How is it about Santa?
Alan Arkin, I think, was one of the worst things about this. And I love Alan Arkin in like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he was uncomfortable. And he was trying to be the ultra testosterone fueled father-in-law, and I wasn't buying it.
He reminded me of a knockoff version of De Niro in Meet the Parents.
Oh.
Yeah. And this was before Meet the Parents, so.
Yeah. It was bad. Like,
I will say, if you can find them on YouTube, the outtakes between him and Tim Allen are hilarious.
Oh, it is at the end of Disney Plus. It does have those.
Oh, does it? I didn't get that far.
It has it during the credits.
It has it during the credits. And they're actually, as I say, there is no excuse for this movie to be so bad with the cast they had.
Yeah, but it was poorly written.
Oh, yeah.
I have a theory that it was because as soon as they got rid of the first Judy, the elf that made the hot cocoa.
Yes.
It just went steadily, like, and then it just took a quick downhill. And
I know. I hope that little girl ended up having
same
a huge.
With Bernard.
Yeah. And yeah. Bernard was gone. And I think he was really the glue that held it together, I think. Yeah. Because he was like the guy that ran the show, even though everyone says Santa runs the show, but Bernard runs the show. And
Bernard
I thought that
was the
show. And then the third one, it was just gone. So,
yeah, I feel the same about Judy the elf, by the way. I love her.
I don't know what. That little girl was
just
special. She's
a cutie
for
Judy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm seeing someone in packaging or in wrapping.
Yeah.
That just gave me such a giggle every time.
And I get that you can't use her again. She's because I'm sure she doesn't look cutesy anymore. You know, I'm sure she's not an ugly person, but she doesn't look like that anymore. And if she was already 100 and something. Okay, so now we've gotten the unpleasantness out of the way. Let's talk about the first movie, which is really where I want to spend all our time today. Well, we might hit on the second movie, but the first movie was just wonderful. I thought the musical score was great. I thought the storyline was great. It was a rehash, let's be honest. You know, divorced dad takes care of his son and proves something to him, which is kind of done a bit. But it, with that being said, it still really worked and it still felt new.
Well, because it's a bit, but it's a brand new bit in the way that they presented it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The concept was awesome. The opening, how it just kind of they pulled it all together with his job. You couldn't write a better Christmassy Santa Claus movie.
They made him a little Grinchy, but he wasn't the Grinch.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he loved his kid, and when he starts becoming Santa Claus and he starts getting the hair and the belly and the list, he kind of starts to embrace it. He could have gone a completely different way where he's like, no, I don't want this. But he's like, guess I got to do this now because I killed Santa.
But I think that was Tim Allen being Tim Allen. And I think that he was the perfect guy to play this role.
Yep.
It's the characterization that works.
Yeah. So, because I mean, there's a lot of guys that would have taken it a different way. Like we talked about with mm-hmm. Galaxy Quest, he was just the right guy for that role. Because I could think like Steve Martin wouldn't have done a good job on it, you know, because someone said that earlier. It was just a really well done casting. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Now let's move on and talk. Now this is a big issue I have. Santa Claus apparently dies, although it's kind of clear that he doesn't because he waves. So I think, was he retiring? That's the first question.
Or it was the whole, like, you know, he's dying and he's got to get that last little
that
line
Green Lantern. Yeah.
He's going to North Pole heaven.
Well, it really just brings up questions because everyone in the North Pole, when Scott goes up there, acts like, oh, this happens all the time. You're the new Santa, no big deal. No one was surprised by it. Nothing. But they all act like for the next two movies, they rally around him like, you can't ever leave Santa. You can never not be Santa. So do the Santas die all the time, or were they just waiting for the right
one?
Well,
they did say that the children are 86% more happy now that he's been Santa. I think that was in the second one, why he can't stop being Santa.
Was that Santa a butt? Was the last Santa a butt?
Well, maybe he was just tired. Like, we don't know how long he was Santa. Mm-hmm. And, like, the elves, they're, like, they talk about they're, like, 900 plus years old. So they've been doing this a while.
And also, if you look at on the third one, when they go into the snow globe room, it's all the snow globes of all the previous Santas. There's, like, hundreds in there.
Yeah.
It's like every 2 years it's a new Santa.
The fact that they have the card in the suit that tells you what you need to do if Santa falls off
your
roof,
prepared.
That pretty much tells you that Santa got run over by a reindeer a lot.
Maybe.
Because they've prepped you going, here's your card, put the suit on, get in the sleigh, don't ask any questions.
Well, being that no one was surprised, what I'm choosing to believe, because otherwise it's just too depressing to think about, is I think that Santa had been doing it for a while and he wanted to retire, and this was, he'd been looking for his chance, and they all knew he was going to try to pick his successor, and that just happened to be the successor that was picked. Is the
magic. So he purposely snapped his neck? Is that what you're saying?
Fell off the roof, guys.
Suicide by Tim
Allen? Him dying. It shows him doing the little wavy thing.
It shows him dying.
Suicidal Santa.
Like, sucker, you got it now. That's kind
of
what
it is. After he falls off the roof and breaks his neck.
I'm not as dark as John. And I'm not as frou-frou happy as you are, Dub. I think he's a mythical creature. I think once you become Santa Claus, you're not human anymore. So he just floated away like myths do.
He's a part of he's a Jedi ghost.
This is so depressing to me.
See? Plus, you also don't want to think about, you know what, little kids going, oh my God, Santa died, he snapped his neck. That's terrifying to a child.
Santa has midichlorians.
Go ahead, Skeeter. Yeah, you got something. And we lost Skeeter for a second.
Oh, that's okay. He might have midichlorians. He's going to show up in the last episode of Mandalorian.
I'm sticking with North Pole Heaven.
North Pole Heaven. We'll do that one. So yeah, that's the philosophical question with the Santa Claus. If you spend too much time on it, it ruins the movie.
Turn into dub.
What is with you?
All of these movies, if you look too deep, like too far below the surface, it just falls apart.
Way apart. But for Tim Allen's first big gig, like first real after, what was that?
Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Like this was his first real movie gig. Like he did really well. Like he took control of it, I think. And he made it kind of believable. You know, like I don't believe in it. The best line in the beginning was, "What if I choose not to believe?"
And don't even joke like that.
Yeah, dead silence.
Yeah, that was. I thought that part was like for real, and the look on all of the little elves' faces, especially the little redhead one.
Man, that hurt. Yeah.
Done. I was like, okay, nice way to go there, Scott Calvin.
Now there was a few parts in the movie that there were over cheesed. You know, there's some cheese
like
in this
the
movie.
Japanese businessmen and Denny's.
Yeah, honestly, that
and then all the
me.
Divorced dads like at Denny's too. It was such a '90s thing. It's like, oh my gosh.
Honestly, that didn't bother me too much because I felt like that was pretty real. Because if you ever go to a Denny's on Christmas, that's kind of what's going on. Because it's
really,
it
that's
is
not true.
Is that a Vegas thing? I don't know.
It might be a Vegas thing. Look, our family tradition was we actually would go to Denny's on Christmas Eve, and then we'd go home and we'd watch the Polar Express and have cocoa and cookies, and then we did a big Christmas dinner. So that's not true. There was a lot of families in Denny's.
Well, but this is in California too, where he can actually go through the freeway without traffic somewhere.
Maybe it's just a Vegas thing. Because our Denny's get a little weird every night. So.
No.
Oh yeah, we used to go to Denny's in Vegas just for the entertainment, but not on Christmas.
Yeah. No. The cheese factor I'm talking about was when he went to jail and they had the elves with tinsel.
The elves with attitude.
The elves that are shooting ribbon out of their crotch.
ELFs.
That part is so awkward. Yes.
I love those.
Oh my god!
They're like holding it like they're peeing out ribbon. Like what the heck?
Right.
I didn't even notice that. Wow.
You didn't notice that?
No. I must be a lot more pure than the rest of the people on this panel.
The fact that you have the elves like going up and down. They're like lowering up and down like while holding their crotch while the ribbon's coming out.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it with my nephew who is 20 this time. And he was like, his eyes got really big and he was like, I didn't realize how awkward that part was until I was an adult. So
yeah, I watched it a few times when I was a kid, and I don't remember that part.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the tinsel.
Isn't it on their utility bill?
Yeah. If that's what it would be, because honestly, what else would a kid want? Because that they would want
superhero.
A
pony.
They may be 900 years old, but they're still supposed to be very childlike.
Yep.
So, of course, they would, you know, if they've developed all this stuff, they want a Batman belt. Who wouldn't? I still want a Batman belt, and I'm like 9,000 years old or something.
Yeah, you are.
So,
yeah, you are.
Yes, I'm old. I know. Wow, I feel like Blythe is on the panel.
I'm not much younger than you are. So.
I think I'm the youngest one here.
You lie like a rug. Anyway. No, actually, that's John from California.
It's sad when I'm the baby and I'm almost 40.
Talk to me when you hit 40.
Anyway,
that's in April.
Okay, so now the other thing I want to talk about, we hit on this a little bit before we started recording, but the what is her name?
Elizabeth Mitchell.
No, it is Wendy Crawford or Wendy Crossen. Crossen.
Oh, Crimson. The ex-wife.
Now this is, and I want you to tell us what we were talking about earlier, Courtney, but my issue with her is she doesn't do anything wrong. She's actually doing everything right in this movie except for the overreacting, but I would probably do the same thing in the same situation.
Right.
But she is so unlikable, and I don't know how, is it the haircut with the RBF bangs and all that?
It's a pretty intense haircut. I will give you that.
Intense haircut.
Well, it was also the early 90s. I mean, come on.
But still.
The yuppie haircut.
Well, the haircut reminded me of Shirley from Laverne and Shirley, and Shirley was just a really annoying character, and I think I really tied to that. But then for me, she actually redeemed herself at the end, and I actually fell in love with her at that moment.
So, yeah.
When she got the mystery date game?
Yeah.
Before then, when she looked in his eyes and she realized.
You are Santa.
Yes. And then she gives him the gift. I was just like, there she is. Like, yep. I'm a mom. Well, so.
And, you know, and not
that
to.
Was good.
Not to play the sexist card, because we don't do that on this show because it's silly. But that is some of the writing, that this woman is evil until she can benefit the part of the main character. You know, and I'm not going to blame that just on the you know, because it's a girl, because that would be, it was the same thing with Judge Reinhold. So, I mean, it's not just the female thing, but it really... Yeah, it was, you know, going back to what we always talk about on the show, it was very girlfriend in the fridge.
I don't know if I'd say it was that far. She's not the fridged girlfriend. But what they tend to do in movies like this, where you have, because the lead is Tim Allen, it's the male. When there's usually the stereotype is when there's an ex-wife, she's not a bad person and she doesn't do anything wrong. It's just the way they write her is her whole purpose is to help the drive of the lead character, of the male character. It's the same thing with Sally Field in Mrs. Doubtfire, like we talked before. She's not a bad person. She's not a bad mom.
But she feels that way.
She feels that way because we're viewing the movie from the eyes of Robin Williams' character. The same way here, we're viewing the film from the eyes of Scott Calvin.
Yeah.
So
which is an interesting take, by the way.
It's how characters like that are commonly written in scripts like this.
So what would the movie feel like if they went instead of being through the eyes of Scott, if it was more through the eyes of Charlie? Completely different movie, but would it still be better?
I think it'd probably worse? I don't know if it'd be better, it'd just be different. I mean, we'd view the mom entirely differently.
Yeah. I think we'd view...
We'd view Scott Needle. Differently, too. Yeah, we'd view them all differently. Because it's just...
Personally,
it's
I would have been a little bit more pissed with the kidnapping. Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, we forgive you for kidnapping our son for a couple of weeks.
Right, because he's been up at the North Pole the whole time.
No, well, it wasn't a couple weeks. It was the time continuum, so it was only 24 hours.
No, because he went back to the North Pole after Thanksgiving, so he was gone from Thanksgiving till Christmas Eve.
Yeah, he's gone the whole time.
That's a month.
That's I would probably have issues with that, too.
Yeah, Scott literally did the I'm running for the border of Mexico with the kid.
Only Canada.
She won't give me.
Canada,
But taking him to the North Pole instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very forgiving about the kidnapping. Because of Santa.
She got the game, though. And Neil got the weenie whistle.
Good.
And the way he blew that whistle. Oh, my gosh. He was trying to channel the Christmas story when he's holding the gun for the first time.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. That was what he was trying to channel there, only it was just awkward coming from
the
a 50-year-old man.
Like, the way he said it, it was like,
my weenie
whistle. I stopped believing in Santa when I was 3.
And I love me some Judd Reinhold, but I think that is he was my least favorite character, even more so than the mom.
Got worse.
Was it the sweaters or was it the person?
It was the person.
Sweaters, crappy.
No, those were some Cosby sweaters.
Love the sweaters.
I want the sweaters. I think I'm gonna find them.
Those were Cosby levels.
I think my favorite line is when Bernard shows up at the table. I love, man, this bird is dry, but I also love the fact that he goes up to Judge Reinhold and like pulls the tag going, did we make this?
Yes.
Yeah. He's eating his sandwich.
Man, this bird is dry.
The Brussels or the alfalfa sprout sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how much we've hit on Bernard yet, but what a great character. Yes, we mentioned that the other movie was missing him. I liked him as a character.
I really love him.
I mean, he's one of those old guys that always seem young, like a Vinny from Doogie Howser. I mean, he's like 40 years old, but he can play a 12-year-old.
Well, he was 16 in the first one and like 22 or 24 in the second one.
And there was no difference.
None.
Yeah.
At all.
Oh, that's amazing. Hollywood magic.
But such a great character. I mean, I love the fact that, let's be honest, if there's one person that Santa's got to listen to, it's him.
Right.
He was telling them, no, this is how we're doing it. I mean,
and he took the angry elf thing and made it funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's, like, so frustrated. Try to understand! Like, he's clearly been doing this a really long time. And he just, Menard needs a vacation. Because he's, like, snapping. Yeah. Because he had to go solve crimes with math.
Okay, well, this is one thing I want to hit real quick on the second movie. So we're going to kind of blend these together a little bit. Now, we've already assumed, well, some of us assume that the Santa Claus changes every couple years. Some of us assume it changes every couple hundred years. And some of us just think he retired. So that's the first one ever.
Whenever it happens, it happens.
Now, if it does happen all the time, how would they not know about the second Santa Claus?
The Mrs. Claus?
The Mrs. Claus. How would they not know about that?
Maybe the other dudes were married.
They waited a full year to tell homeboy.
No. They waited, 8 years tell him. Because he had 8 years to find a Mrs. Claus.
When he had, like, okay, you got 2 weeks. Now you're losing your Santa magic. Now you got to deal with all this and find a wife.
You're de-Santifying, Wendell.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm working out a lot.
And did anybody, I'm just going to call it out, like, did anybody else's TV, I have 4K digital, like, did anybody else look like Tim Allen was dying when he was losing the weight? Like, he looked jaundiced.
Yeah.
When he's standing in the room, he's all, Dad, can you shut off my light? When his son, when he looked at him and told him to shut off his light, like, he looked horrible. I'm all, oh.
Wrong with Tim? I think that was kind of that was really on purpose, because once you lose the magic of Christmas, all the joy goes away.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm going like to. You guys an excuse?
That or they didn't.
I will justify a bad movie if I like it.
It's easy to justify this. It was not a bad one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
enjoyed it.
Now the second movie, we have different feelings on it. I think it would have been a pretty decent movie without Robot Santa, because I think that was completely unnecessary.
Ken Doll Santa.
Yeah. I think that was a lot to do with we got to still have North Pole scenes, and we got to figure out what everyone's going to do when Santa's gone and no one's going to know. There could have been a lot more fun ways to do it, because he could have been like doing conference calls and all that stuff and having to put on a fake beard. That could have been fun, but I think the Ken Doll Santa was.
You didn't enjoy the South American dictator Santa?
No.
See, I will take
it was much.
I will take Robot Santa over angsty, spoiled, rotten Charlie. I hated the way they wrote him in the second one. And you wouldn't have gotten that brilliant line when Robot Santa looks at Santa and says, "You're a sad, strange little man." I about died.
Okay, which
like,
was funny.
I literally almost like I couldn't stop laughing because it was brilliant.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of the complaints that we heard before was it was too rushed and all that. And I would agree. However, you take that extra Santa story out, you have more time that they can have a relationship and actually have the Hallmark movie moment between Scott and Elizabeth.
Well, I don't understand why they didn't just like have him like he had cell phones at the time, so he could have just run his business remotely like any other CEO can do. He doesn't have to physically be there. He can be like giving directions, so they could have just easily done without the dictator Santa.
Yeah.
He could have phoned it in. I think they were looking
literally
I think they were looking for this big conflict resolution, and maybe the writers couldn't figure out how to get there with just the Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, they didn't have the ex-wife deal in this one so they needed
But you didn't need that in this movie, right. I felt like. You know who could have done it was Curtis. Could have been that, and he could have like gone a little power mad and started taking control. That would have made more sense to me.
You know what they could have done is they could have
not
they
made it
combined. Well, yeah.
Yeah. They could have stopped with the first movie.
That's what should have happened, but they could have combined 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Santa's not at the North Pole. That's the perfect time to put in somebody who's trying to take over the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But instead, they decided to do a whole other movie on it. That could be the situation where Jack Frost takes over instead of the South American dictator robot Santa.
Or since they were basically printing money at this point, so they could have actually made 2 and 3 together, not put them in the same movie, but had them literally have a continued till the next year. He gets married, and then now he's got to deal with Jack's rise to power, and they could have been continued for a full year.
Jack's rise to power.
It's something.
We just made it real dark.
Christmas Thanos.
Christmas Thanos. I have all 5 icicles. I broke.
That was
Courtney.
Perfect.
Nice.
Not John did with John. His Thanos.
Thanos.
All credit goes to John for that one.
Thank you. So, the blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Wow. We need to do an Ice Age Christmas special too. I think they had one, didn't they?
They didn't have a Christmas episode. It's just Ice Age was always in the winter.
Yeah.
Right.
Hence the term Ice Age.
Yeah. So another thing that I loved about the first that got steadily worse was the Santa jacket. I loved how it was designed in the first one. And in the second one, you know how it had those like the circular snowflake indents in the first movie that looked like they were very painstakingly hand sewn. The second one, it looks like they had some patches and they just kind of put some
bobby pins on. Well, the first one, it looked like they had taken the patches off. Like, have you ever taken a patch off a jacket and all of a sudden you've got that, like, leftover, like,
it looked right.
Imprint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he doesn't have his badges yet. Like,
I thought it looked
cool. He's a Boy Scout.
I thought it looked cool. But the second one, it just looked like those patches were just hanging there and it looked like they really don't care about this franchise anymore, do they?
Yeah, the first one, it feels old and precious, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like they definitely have to take care of that suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's an antique that's been passed down from Santa.
Which is how it should look.
Can we talk about the reindeer language that started in the second?
Oh,
like, God.
Crap was that. Like, you're complaining about Ken doll Santa, and it's like, how are you not talking about that? The reindeer language. Like, what the crap?
And the overindulging comet. Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
And what was Garfield. The name? What was the name of the new one that they brought?
Chet.
The second
Chet.
Don't do that.
I forgot about that.
Don't do that. Because that's
an easy. I must block that out.
Yeah, if they were going to throw one in, it should have been Rudolph, and they called him Rudy or something. But, yeah, Chet.
I completely forgot about Chet the reindeer.
You try to forget about
you
Chet.
You want to. Yeah, you want to forget about Chet the reindeer.
I must have blocked it out.
You kind of put him in the same ballpark as Chet from Weird Science, the older brother.
You're right?
Rest in peace, Bill Paxton.
Not too soon, man.
But that was one of those things that I don't think they had. There's things that you can totally play with in the Christmas universe. I think that's one of those things you can't.
Right.
You can't add reindeer. I think that's
you can't add a random reindeer.
No. Unless you're changing them all out on a frequency basis. You know, and I liked how they did it because he fell through the world. Why is he breaking all this stuff? Oh, he's a trainee. Okay, that's cute. That's funny. Whatever. But I don't like them messing with the mythology on that stuff. There's things you can change and there's things you can't. I think that's one of those you can't.
Right. And not only that, but like the name itself was just ridiculous when you look at the names of the reindeer and the traditions behind them on Chet.
Chet the reindeer.
What would you name him though? Like, I can't think of like a good name for him instead of Chet.
Durango.
Durango.
It's got to have multiple syllables. It's got to have at least 2 syllables.
They could have gone with Rudolph. Like,
exactly.
Right.
Just stick with tradition. I mean, if you're going to call them all, like Rudyard.
Rudy the reindeer.
Randolph.
Randolph would work.
Yeah. I mean, at least you're in the same ballpark.
Yeah. Now, In the second and third movie, we have Peter Boyle, who shows up in all movies, just in different parts. And he wasn't even credited in the second movie as Father Time, by the way. And that, I'm like, really? He did not even get a credit for it. I thought he
was... Maybe he didn't want to be attached to that movie. I think he's like, I'll take the paycheck and go home.
I'm sure he's friends with Tim Allen. I think that's how that happens.
Yeah, it could have been just a walk-on thing.
But it was such... I really liked his character in all three of the movies. The first one, he played the boss who was honestly
there for 2 minutes.
Well, he was very concerned for Scott.
For his health, he was.
For his health. Concerned. And he's like, and for, you know, you're not getting the job done. You got to go. And he did the right thing on that. Like, you know, you just put on 150 pounds over like a week. You're not showing up and you're crapping on what we make. Yeah, you got to go. But he was very caring about it still. And I liked his, that character. And then I liked him as Father Time. I liked the... I'm going to get... I know a lot of people didn't. I liked the... What is it? League of Imaginary... Or Legendary Characters?
League of...
Yes.
Legendary. Whatever they were. Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting take on it. I liked that they said, well, you know, we didn't have this before Santa showed up. And, you know, you created this. And I'm like, that's cool. I thought
they could have done without that.
Thomas, I thought was a bit much as the Easter Bunny, especially in the third one, because he started making dirty jokes, and it was like,
J. Thomas is a bit much all the time, in my personal opinion. But
he can be.
He's not my favorite. So.
I mean, if we didn't have the League of Legendaries, we would have never gotten the Molinator.
The Molinator,
that was bad.
Just saying, it was so awful. It was good.
I like seeing Worf as the Sandman.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Michael Dorn was great.
That was Michael Dorn. That was Worf. Aisha Tyler as Mother Nature. She brought so much beauty to that role.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's just a cool human being, and she's just beautiful. And she was who that part needed, I think.
Yeah. I agree. I think the legends were well cast, and it would have been fun to do a lot with them. This movie just was bad.
The third movie, they started with the second. The third movie, they could have really them be the central part of it, and then have Scott dealing with his stuff in the real world trying to get back, but that the legendary characters are still trying to make it all work. They're trying to figure out how to make it work.
Right. And instead of Robot Santa, they could be vying for who's going to be Santa. That would have been fun.
Oh, yeah. Because somebody has to be Santa, and they also got to figure out how to cover their job at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all brilliant actors. And, you know, I think that would have been a lot of fun. Like seeing Mother Nature, like in something like, you'll have to watch the video, but like this, like, I should be Santa. I mean, I think it would be awesome.
Or if they all did it for like a couple of weeks and you see them fail at being Santa.
And they do the trade-offs of being Santa.
Right. Yeah. And at that point, then I want to see J. Thomas as the Easter Bunny, because I think he would really have some time to shine on that. Why is this movie not made? I'm asking. Can we just,
we're not in control.
Can we believe
write it, Courtney, write it.
Remake the third movie right now. Let's petition for this to happen.
Of all the reboots, you want that one?
I just want the third one. But it has to be the story that we're telling right now.
Well, and if you're gonna reboot anything, go for the suckiest thing you can find.
Well, yeah, don't crap on my childhood. Do stuff we didn't like.
That wasn't your childhood. You were like 30 when that came out.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, he went there.
Everything's in my childhood. We're geeks. We're perpetually children. So
children.
That's why we keep watching these movies that we watch over and over and over again. Okay, so we're getting kind of to the end of this. So let's discuss what I always discuss, and I'm afraid to ask this question. So I'm going to change the question from what I normally do. Let me hear your grade for the Santa Claus, the trilogy, and then let me hear your grade for Santa Claus, the first one, because that's the brilliant one. And I think, yeah, that's what I want to do, because then we'll end on a happy note instead of everyone saying F. Let's start with Christina. What do you grade the trilogy and then the first one?
The trilogy is a B minus. It is a
B minus. That's high praise.
And I'm being generous. I'm being mm-hmm. generous. I could like and forgive some of the mistakes in two mm-hmm. a little more so. And the only, like I said, the only thing that saved Robot Santa was that line. One was brilliant. It was heartwarming. It was, I feel like the story for me was about Charlie, even though it was seen through Santa's eyes, Scott Calvin's eyes, but yeah. it really was from third the moment. Narrator. Yeah. Well, from the moment that, so A plus for the original movie, but from the moment where he finds out that Charlie's been told there was no Santa and he reads, you know, the night before Christmas, he's already trying to redeem himself in that moment, even mm-hmm. though it may be a little half-hearted. And that's when I fell in love with this single dad.
Yeah.
Was like this storyline, but it really was for him about Charlie.
Yeah. And he was mm-hmm. trying to be a good dad and all that, which yeah. is something I loved. Mm-hmm. Let's go with John from California.
I'd have to give it like a D minus for the whole trilogy.
Wow.
The I'm sorry. The second movie was like maybe a C minus, and then they crapped the bed with Santa Claus 3.
Wow.
The first one I'll give like a B plus to. I don't know. The common theme with all of them is just kind of felt a little rushed. And you can't really scratch too much below the surface, because if you do, they all just fall apart.
You know what? I want to ask you one thing before we move on. Have you watched this with your kids?
We watched the first one all together. Yeah,
well, that's the only one you need to watch with your kids. You know?
Yeah, yeah. We were about to watch the second one, and then like something came up, and so I just ended up watching the other two by myself.
What was it like through their eyes?
They liked it. Yeah, they liked it. I think
they're the prime age for it right now.
They did keep talking about the bad CG. But they're like, oh,
because you're their dad.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but I mean, like, it just Ray Charles could see how bad the CG was in that movie. So,
oh my god,
it wasn't that bad when it came out.
Because it was '94, and that was like right after Jurassic Park came out. Yeah,
it wasn't top of the line, but it was. No, mid. It was definitely mid tier at the time.
I wouldn't call. Yeah, mid tier at the time, which is like now like failing. It's like Birdemic level CG.
94 MTV still had music videos. Come on.
Right.
Oh, we're all feeling old. Okay, Skeeter, what about you?
Okay, so trilogy, I'm going C.
Okay, this fair enough.
Right in the middle of the road. And what was the second one?
What do you rate the first one?
The first one, I'm going to go with, because of it was this kind of this reconnection piece and Scott Calvin trying to like become a dad to his son, because his son was losing like really losing sight and like who his dad was, and becoming more a fan of Neil and mom. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, this was an opportunity. Wow. You know, Santa falls off the roof, blah, blah, blah. They go, and then he doesn't believe, but Judy says something when he sees the polar bear directing traffic in the middle of the square. And Tim says, is that a polar bear directing traffic? And he's like, oh, I don't believe what's going on. And Judy says, seeing isn't believing, believing is seeing. And that like sets the whole theme for the thing.
Yeah.
And literally, if you remember, in all three movies, Charlie uses that. And then in the last one, the little girl uses it. So it kind of sticks with that theme. I liked it. I loved it. I'll give the first one always an A, because it was just great as far as a story. And it was just, it's the go-to. Like, you open the holiday season with the Santa Claus, followed directly by the
Elf.
Elf and then Christmas Story, yeah.
Yeah, and then Vacation. And then
oh, yeah. It goes on from there.
But definitely an A for the first one. I loved it. Great family fun.
Very good. Courtney?
I'm like Skeeter. I'm going to give it a C for the trilogy, because if you did a lot of averages, I think 2 is a C, because it's not
It's not bad. It's not
completely unwatchable.
Yeah.
Three is completely unwatchable. It's an F for all the reasons that everybody's already talked about. Same thing with C, but I love the first one. I think it's delightful. It was delightful then. It's delightful now. It was a fresh take on that changing of the guard with somebody becoming Santa Claus. So I'm going to go with an A on the original, but a C for the whole trilogy.
Very good. I'm in the same vein. I go ACF, A for the first one, C for the second, F for the last one. I wish the last two would have never been made, because, you know, we talk
they
about
weren't
this.
Needed.
We talk about this a lot, that, you know, there's very few movies that are, you know, that close to perfect. And then when they try to do it again, it very rarely happens. And they should. I think that they should have seen the writing on the wall, but I think they also saw all those zeros on their checks. So, because there was a few of them.
That was the writing on the wall they saw.
This made
their contracts. Mm-hmm.
This made a lot of money, you know. And I thought, you know, I think that they had genuine fun on set. You know, you see the outtakes and all that, and I understand why you would keep going on it. At the same time, I wish they wouldn't have. You know, I think that this would be the Santa Claus, I think, would be in that holy grail that we talk about of the Christmas Story, Elf, as far as classics. I think the second two just muddied the water so much that it's never going to have that status that it should have. And that's a shame.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
But yeah.
Because it's missing so many, like, the moments. That's what I would call them. Like, when they're at Charlie's soccer game and Santa, the kids are lined up to see Santa. When him and Charlie are walking and the reindeer are following behind him and he doesn't have a clue what's going on. Those are those moments that pushed it over the top for me. And then when my 4-year-old son crawled up on his dad's lap after watching it and he's like, "Are you going to be Santa, Daddy?" Like, those are the memories that come up for me, which is why one is so brilliant.
Yeah, those personal memories always get kind of sprinkled in the movie memory, which, you know, and that's part of the experience, you know?
That's part of a good movie.
It is. You know, and that I think that everyone should take some time and honestly watch the first movie this year. It is on Disney Plus. Don't bother with the second two unless you like just are a glutton for punishment.
Just skip to the outtakes.
You feel like gouging your eyes out.
No, I mean, it's not, you know, some people might like it. It's just not my cup of tea. Like I said, it took me 3 days to watch it. I can handle about 20 minutes at a time. And that's saying something. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I got to get through this. I got to get through this because I knew we were doing the show on it.
I'll say this. If I had to choose between Santa Claus 3 and Christmas Chronicles 2, I'm probably gonna take a ride with Martin Short again. I'm gonna tell you that much.
Wow.
Oh, I'm hanging out with Goldie and Kurt over in Christmas Chronicles 2.
I don't know.
I haven't watched them.
No, this is something I'm supposed to watch before our big Christmas special.
You won't even watch
Christmas.
The first one.
I'm going to.
Hard time.
Okay, on that note, check out our Patreon if you want us to keep doing these shows without commercials cutting in all the time. Go to our Patreon and please give us a dime or two. We put out a lot of content for you, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
That's not a guilt trip by any stretch of the imagination, but this cost us money to do. We don't get paid a dime for it.
Yeah, we don't make any money off of this show, guys.
This is literally 28 to 48 hours out of my week, every single week.
He loves it. Don't let
I do.
Try to fool
I'm,
you.
No, I'm not complaining about it, but let's say if you want to be able to give back and help cover some of our production costs, we would definitely appreciate it. You know, our charities that we do, everything else. And with that's all on the end. If you watch that card, it tells you where to get a hold of everything. So Merry Christmas, y'all. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
I'm Dub, and I'm here with Skeeter. I'm here with John from California, Miss Geeky Page herself, and the Cheeky Cheek Christina. Keep on geeking on. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, yeah. And we'll see you next week for A Christmas Carol. All
that's
versions.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Who's Carol?
Hello, our geek rock stars. I'm Satomi Hoffman with I Heart Geek, and we heart you. And I'm going to tell you about a way that you can heart us back. So here's the deal. iHeartGeek has just launched our Patreon page. This is a chance for you to help us with production costs and help us keep bringing these podcasts to you. Not a lot of people know it. We don't make any money making this podcast, but we do it because we heart geek, we heart bringing it to you, and we heart obsessing over the things that you heart. So how do you become involved? Super simple. There are four tiers of support. The first tier of support is only $3 a month, about the price of a cup of coffee if you don't go to Starbucks. And we will love you like we love Baby Yoda, except for Blythe, who doesn't feel the Baby Yoda love, which... So now tier two is $5 a month, which now we're talking like a drip coffee and a cookie. And for that, we'll display your name during the show and also put you in the end credits. Name recognition, y'all. Now tier three, $10 a month. Now we're getting into the nitty gritty. We will actually take your suggestions and we will put them in the rotation of the show. So whatever you obsess about, which we already probably obsess about, we will obsess about on air. All right, now we're talking tier four. We're talking the Triforce Excalibur Infinity Gauntlet level of subscription. $20 a month will get you as a regular rotational cast member on the show. We'll have you come on. We'll discuss the things that you heart, the things that we heart. We'll argue, we'll laugh, we'll have a great time. And you will have made iHeartGeek better for your subscription. And of course, you can tell all your friends, hey, ha ha, I'm on a podcast. So there you have it. Four easy ways to help iHeartGeek become a listener-supported podcast, and you get something in return. We heart you, we thank you, we heart geek, and remember to keep on geeking on.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.